Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 101 of Tatooine Sons.
We're back.
It's going to get a very long...
Yeah, here. Wait till it's 200, 2 years from now. So.
It's a new era in Star Wars and for Tatooine Sons.
Woo!
With Disney and Lucasfilm taking a three-year break between theatrical releases, we've decided to shift the focus of our main topic just a bit. Instead of being news and theory-driven, we're going to be taking a closer look at the major themes within Star Wars. This week, we're looking at the death of Ben Solo and how one's view of the afterlife impacts the ways people have responded.
Death is a natural part of life.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of
it. What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream... That Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars, from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with our two sons.
With our two sons?
Two sons.
You have two sons?
No, I don't.
We both have two sons?
No.
Spoiler alert. So.
Well, we're in a new season, so yeah, I figured we might as well clue you in.
All right.
And first, my brother is saying hello. true to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably still have a position on life after death.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation that we're going to have on that. You could definitely tell it's been a couple weeks since we've done one of these.
Yeah.
We're already a little bit choppy and out of it. So,
But and of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad's Bow Tie Jedi.
He just gave me a fist bump right in the middle of the show. He's like, our father figure's fist bump. Oh, he's going to punch me. Okay.
But then you walked away.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
How was Christmas break so far?
It's good. Well,
it's actually like really the end of Christmas break for you, BB Nate.
Yes, but not for Sam.
No, Sam's got how many more weeks?
Two. You don't have to go back until the 21st.
So 21st. Maybe three. Two more full weeks. You've got tomorrow back in school.
Yeah, I got like 5 hours.
I've got 5 hours. Not a little bit longer than that, but yeah. 12 hours. What is it, about 5 o'clock right now, our time?
Yeah.
So you got 15 hours or so before you actually start to
school. Most of it's going to be sleeping, though.
Exactly. Yeah. So technically,
we spent the last couple of days, like, Bond movie binging.
Yeah.
With that. And you guys had never seen a Bond movie.
No. Mm.
So we just did the Daniel Craig ones. Mm-hmm. We've seen Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker now, you and me 6 times, is that right, BBNA? You, Sam, 5. Mm-hmm. With it, and they've done No Time to Die, is that the
every
name of it?
Every single time.
So we've kind of gotten like interested in the possibility of seeing that film. It looks pretty good, so we decided to binge watch. So we watched Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall. We still have not seen Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
With that. So what are your thoughts on the Bond franchise? It is the most successful cinematic franchise of all time.
Well, as far as like number so of movies
and all that. What do you think about it?
No, it was good. It was interesting. I can see the appeal.
Yeah, they're really good. They're interesting. They keep you on the edge of your seat for all of the movies. So. It's an entertaining couple of hours for sure.
Now, the Daniel Craig versions are a little bit grittier than the original ones that are on there. But would you agree, at least as far as the Daniel Craig versions go, that Bond movies are basically Jason Bourne movies with a British accent and a little bit more class?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because we're big Bourne fans.
Yeah, I love Bourne. I still like Bourne better than Bond at this point.
Really?
For sure. Yes, oh, yeah.
Like America.
Yeah. America's better anyway.
Sorry for all of you that listen in, like Australia. And
it's just the truth. I'm just saying the truth, though. Although I thought it was funny, we were watching, and I noticed the British flag, which, it's not like this is the first time I've seen it, but I noticed we took the exact same colors they had and just mixed it around. And we're like, yeah, we're a new country now.
right.
So, but yeah, no, they were good. I enjoyed it.
So let's just real quick, Rise of Skywalker. We've seen it six times. With that. Where are you guys putting this in your pantheon of Star Wars movies? Oh, like your rankings? Where are you going to stick this right now? I know, it's a little bit impromptu. So where are you putting it?
Go ahead, Sam.
Sure. I don't know.
Before going into this, your favorite was
Last Jedi.
Okay, and where does it fit with The Last Jedi right now?
It's under. Is for it? Sure. Yeah, no, it's not my favorite by any means, but it was good. Better than Force Awakens, in my opinion.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I liked it a lot better.
Empire Strikes Back's a big one for you. Rogue One's a big one for you. Where do you put it in relation to those?
Above Rogue One, under Empire.
Okay, that's fair. What about you? Where are you at, BB Nate? Where do you put it? He's like trying to act like
I plead the fifth.
Last question, right? Where are you putting Rise of Skywalker? Hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you go first?
I put it sort of in the middle of the pack. I mean, Last Jedi is my favorite. Empire is my second favorite. I would put A New Hope under Empire because it's the original. I would put Force Awakens, probably for a sort of a sentimental reason more than anything, but Force Awakens underneath A New Hope because that was the first time I watched a Star Wars movie with you guys. And that was a pretty special moment in a theater, right? Yeah. And then right underneath that is where I've got Rise of Skywalker, and it's not like there's a ton of space separating them as far as it goes. It's just that's the way I would rank it. Let's go real quick. You got to go. Just what's your instinct there, BB Nate? As he yawns, are you bored with our conversation?
No, right? I already just done. Yawn.
Okay, 7 minutes in. Instinct. Go. Rise of Skywalker.
I gotta say something.
Probably above Last Jedi.
Wow.
But for me.
So that would put that at your favorite?
Yes, for now.
Where's Solo fit into this? You love Solo.
It goes Rise of Skywalker, Last Jedi, and then Solo, because those are my movies. I always enjoy watching those.
It's interesting.
Right. Cool.
Well, that's good. So we kind of mentioned it at the beginning of the show, or at least BB Nate did. There's going to be some changes going into the new year. Yeah, we're going to pivot a little bit on the show. You know, for 2 years, we've done a lot of news stuff, a lot of movie stuff, talking about the things that are coming out, theorizing as to what's going to come out in movies. And I'm sure there's going to be some elements of that that creep in to the show going forward. But with us having a 3-year break between now and the next Star Wars movie, while we still know we're getting a ton of new stuff with movies and or TV and animation, there's new rumors about a Star Wars Rebels show coming, Mandalorian, Cassian Andor, Kenobi, potentially some other stuff that's out there. We're going to have lots to talk about with that. But one of the things that I've loved about our conversations over the last 2 years was when we've been able to talk about what we describe as being the greater story that Star Wars like speaks to within each of us. There's this idea in the scripture, we come from a Christian perspective. We've never hidden that from anybody. We talk about it all the time, but we believe that it says in Ecclesiastes that eternity is written on our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I think that Star Wars is one of the things that causes Star Wars to be so compelling for people, is it really does speak to that mythic journey, hero's journey that Joseph Campbell talks about, George Lucas talks about, and it really does speak to a bigger story within us.
So. Yeah, and one thing I was thinking about, watching the movies lately and thinking about all these classic stories that we all know and love, like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, things like that, they're usually set in these other worldly places, these foreign places to us, so we can focus less on the environment and more on the story, because it takes us out of our every day and it allows us to focus more on the story.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah.
So that's why Star Wars is in, you know, space and things like that. So
yes,
it is. So we're going to be pivoting on our main topic. Now we're still going to be doing hot takes, and hot takes is where we'll get the chance to talk about some of the latest news and rumors and some of that stuff. And I'm sure there'll be other times where we actually do want to talk about something like a trailer that came out for a new movie or an announcement for it. But overall, the main show is going to focus in on the main topic. He's going to focus in on big thematic elements within Star Wars, which we'll talk about one today. I'll just mention it because you already mentioned it once, BB-8, in the intro. But the idea of the afterlife in Star Wars. And so we're going to talk about that in this show today. But we hope that you'll stick with us on this, that you'll give it, you know, it's going to take probably 4 or 5 episodes of us doing this before we find sort of our groove on it, and we know that. We have reached out to all of our Patreon supporters and let them know that we're making this shift in the show. And as a result, we paused Patreon for now, where, you know, we want to make sure that people that are supporting this show are getting the show that they wanted when they signed up to support it. And it gives them an opportunity to do that. And you know, as we change things up, it sort of takes the pressure off of what we talk about on the show, having to fit into some box because that's what we've always done. It allows us to do things a little bit different. Yeah. So we're pretty excited about that. So what do you think about this idea of talking about bigger themes within Star Wars, BB-8? You haven't really spoken into this much.
Well, I mean, it's just going to be interesting because it's different. I mean, it's just going to be a new breath of fresh air, I guess. I mean, it's not going to be talking about theories or all that kind of stuff. And theories are fun. I mean, we got one of them right for the last Rise of Skywalker, and that was awesome, you know.
Which theory did we get right for the Rise of Skywalker? Oh, okay, so the story, though, is I had read the spoilers by then, so I was trying to couch it as a theory on the show so that it wasn't a spoiler.
But we played onto the theory.
But I mentioned that I'd read about it with Mickey Star, and we talked a lot about things that weren't in the spoilers on that.
Yes, but it's just going to be a lot more interesting to talk about the bigger things for Star Wars.
Absolutely. Well, and then we're just going to keep mentioning some of the new things that are coming out this week. There's not a lot coming out in the next week as far as like comics or books or anything like that. January is a little bit slow for that. There is Star Wars Adventures Omnibus Volume 1 graphic novel that's coming out. So that's going to be
cool.
A pretty fun thing. And then they actually moved up the release date for The Rise of Kylo Ren. It wasn't supposed to come out until, I think it's the 15th. Of January, and they moved it up to January 8th. Charles Soule found out on Twitter with everybody else, which he was kind of excited about. He's like, I guess I'm going to have to change all my marketing tweets that I've got scheduled for that. But that'll be a fun one. That was a good first issue. Rise of Kylo Ren, the Snoke connections, Kylo Ren, Ben Solo stuff, which is going to kind of play into some of the stuff that we're talking about today. So, all right, well, why don't we go ahead and just get into the show with this week's podcast. Well, it's not really a poll, but anyway, our podcast poll results.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
What?
No! All right, so this isn't necessarily a podcast poll. We didn't like set it up as a Twitter poll, but I thought I'd put this out there. I did this Thursday, and man, you guys like jumped all over it. It was just called a sequel trilogy challenge. We ask you to tell us which Star Wars sequel trilogy film is your favorite. But there was just one rule. You had to do it without spoiling anything or saying anything negative about the other films. With it, we had over 1,100 likes, 114 retweets, and almost 600 comments.
Wow.
On this. It was really interesting. A lot of Last Jedi love on this.
Really?
A lot of it. I'm not surprised by that for one big reason. We are such Last Jedi apologists that our followers tend to be Last Jedi fans. Yeah. And so there was a lot of that was in it. A lot more T-Ross, Rise of Skywalker support than people expected. Good. And it was funny because the Force Awakens people that loved that one the best, kind of you could tell that they were sort of feeling like they were being left out because nobody was saying the Force Awakens. And fewer people were saying the Force Awakens with it. I didn't go through all 600 or 585 comments and calculate a tally for each movie.
Wow.
Here's the other thing that was awesome. I knew putting this out there, there was going to be some trolls that jumped on and started trying to stir things up and get negative. But really, in the, for the most part, it was pretty positive. Like, maybe 15 negative tweet or comments out of all of them that I saw with it. And I tried to look at every one of your comments, guys, and like it and retweet it and all that. It was actually a lot of fun. It was very positive.
That's good.
And we're still getting people commenting on it even today, a few days later. But we've got a few of them here. So I'm going to read the first one. It's from Rogue Time Lord. One, McCash, CHCHE 33, McCash 33. He kind of broke the rules. The rule was you couldn't say anything about the other movies, but you know, it was a decent tweet. So he said, I enjoyed all three. Okay. TFA was a bit too much EU super weapon of the week, though I love the new characters it introduced. So he's kind of like telling why he liked each one.
Okay.
With it. TLJ was my favorite. Crotchety Grandpa look. Luke, crotchety Grandpa Luke, and then seeing Rise of Skywalker was my favorite experience because it kept my son on the edge of his seat with a huge grin, which is one of the reasons that I liked that so much. I'm going to take a shout out on that one. So that one's a good one. Next one.
Yeah, so this one is from Ian K at Star Wars.
Yep.
Star Wars Ian. Oh, word. I was seeing two S's there. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So he said, The Force Awakens, it was one of the most amazing nights ever going to The Force Awakens opening night. Just the atmosphere was great, full of people who loved Star Wars and were excited for the first Star Wars film in 10 years. And then the film delivered tenfold.
Absolutely. What was that experience? You guys kind of go back 5 years and think about... Or 4 years, was it 15, 16, 17, 18, 19? Yeah, 5 years.
It was an interesting one. We were going to go opening, we weren't going to go opening night.
Right.
We didn't have tickets, and we were at Fargo's, and we're like, might as well. So and yeah.
That so was, I bought some on Fandango really quick at the last minute.
Yes, and so we got in, and it was...
We were scheduled already. We wanted to see it in IMAX. And so we had already brought tickets when they went on sale at IMAX, but we couldn't get tickets till Friday. We couldn't do the Thursday opening with it. And we went to Fargo's that night, which is a pizza restaurant, a local place here in Colorado Springs. Great. One of our favorite places to go. We were sitting there eating, and I saw that there were some tickets available for one of the Thursday night showings. They weren't great seats, but they were there. So we decided at the last second to go. With it, so
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't remember that one very much, but I vaguely remember the IMAX one. I remember that one better.
Waiting in line for hours because there was no assigned seats.
That was
we got there really early, like 5 or 6 hours early.
We were like the second group in line.
Yeah,
it was crazy. It was a lot of fun. We played Star Wars Monopoly and then like Heads Up and all this stuff.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Last one, Jonathan Maurer. That's yours, BB Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Jonathan Maurer at John Maurer _ power.
There you go.
Mawa power.
TLJ. The way it's written and executed is amazing. A lot of ideas I heard from others before TLJ was released that I knew I wasn't going to like if they came true. But TLJ took those ideas and presented them in a way that made me embrace them, and that, to me, is an excellent filmmaking.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. He had lots of ideas and theories that he had heard that he did not want to happen in the movie that actually did, but because Rian Johnson, congratulations, by the way, on all your Golden Globe nominations for tonight, Rian with Knives Out. Hope you win. And Adam Driver's up for Best Actor, too.
Marriage Story.
Marriage Story. On Netflix. It's a Netflix cinematic
release. I've heard good things about it.
Huh. It's amazing from what I've heard. But anyway, it's about divorce, and so I don't want to watch it. It was funny because Rian did such a great job that he loved the way that it turned out. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay, it's total side note here. What's the difference between, like, the Oscars and the Golden Globes?
Golden Globes has more stuff, more categories, basically...
They divide up the movie categories a little bit.
And it pays attention to more of the people like best screen...
No, I don't think so. It's got TV. It's got movies. Yeah, it's got comedy. It's got like a comedy musical section and a drama section.
It's a little bit more interesting.
And it tends to be a little bit more... It's a different like association within Hollywood giving their award with it than the... Motion Pictures Association of America. Oscars are the Motion Pictures Association of America. The Golden Globes is a different association, and they have some different rules. So
that's cool. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to hot takes. Do we know what the future of Star Wars looks like? A Star Wars comic hinted at who Snoke really was months ago, and Collider has decided that there is no more Jedi Council. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so the next Star Wars film is set. Saga is reportedly being set during the High Republic era. You guys, we talked about this a little bit in passing last night. This is from Making Star Wars. This is our buddy Jason Ward, which, by the way, I just want to make a comment on this. Everybody that said that Jason Ward's leaks and spoilers and stuff that he made very clear were spoilers, very clear that they were leaks. They were all a bunch of garbage that weren't true. He got them basically all right. Hmm. And so I just want to say that on record with that. Anyway, all right. So the reason I say that, too, is because he's a credible source. When he releases information, it's generally true. I know there was the Colin Trevorrow thing. He got bit in the butt with that. But other than that, I've never seen anything get really wrong with it. So here's what he has to say. Sources are saying that the next Star Wars saga is going to take place during an era that is going to be called the High Republic era. It sounds like the setting is 400 years before the Skywalker saga. The new saga is set during a time that the Sith's rule of two has been established by Darth Bane and Yoda is a Jedi. But is it the old Jedi we know from the Skywalker era? These new films will not make up a trilogy, but rather a series of films, which will be released in the same story era and interconnect. D.B. Weiss and David Benioff were to make this series before moving on to a more lucrative deal. This method of storytelling was supposed to apply to a Star Wars stories films, but they never got a chance to interconnect the two stories that they told with more material. Also, another website, Zero.hu, it's a foreign website. I don't know what that is.
Does it have an H at the end of the zero?
No. No, it's ZIRO.HU. Ran an excellent scoop that elaborates on how Project Luminous will kick off with a video game and a lot of other information that corroborates the timeline information that Jason heard. They have heard some of the stories will have Jedi exploring the unknown regions. Samuel the Hutt. What do you think about the possibility of Project Luminous being a comprehensive MCU-like coordination of story that includes film, TV, animation, games, books, and comics? What would you say to that?
I really like the idea. It's kind of like what we thought was going to happen with Rise of Skywalker, in a way. And it didn't quite happen, which I was a little upset about, but I'm not going to be like, butthurt about it. It's headcanon, so I can't really... Exactly. It's just my opinion. But
Very balanced approach, sir.
But no, I'm really excited. I love that idea. I love when they interconnect things, because the MCU, they really only really interconnected the films. There were the TV shows, but they didn't really come in all that much, and they didn't have any games or really any books. So I like the idea that there's going to be so much content that's going to be all interconnected into these movies. It'll make it for a really interesting experience, because people who just want to see the movies can still see the movies and enjoy it. But then us super fans who, take in as much content as we can, we'll be able to further enjoy the story.
Like go deeper into it through the other sources and things like that.
Yeah, cool. I like that idea.
BB Nate, you're a big game fan. Jedi Fallen Order is your jam, right? You love that thing, okay? Which I still haven't finished. What do you think about the idea that they could be launching this all with a new game that they haven't even talked about yet that's ready to be released in 2020?
Well, if it's ready to be released in 2020, then it's most likely going to be announced during the most...
I think it's going to get announced in January if they do that sometime.
Well, I would think that they would do it during a big game conference.
Okay, so
like
that?
Sony CS.
Okay,
that's like their big news conference that is a convention, and that would make the most sense for
when me. Is that? Do you know?
I think that it's in March.
Okay, so it's coming soon.
Yeah, so it might either be released then or announced and released later in the year. But that'd be great if it kicked off with a game, because more Star Wars games is never that much of a problem.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because they announced Project Luminous and the idea of this collaboration of some sort back all the way in April at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago. And the authors that are brought into this, you've got Claudia Gray, who's one of the best Star Wars novelists. She wrote Bloodline, Master and Apprentice, Lost Stars, some of the most popular Star Wars novels out there. You've got Justina Ireland, who's been involved in some of the stuff recently. That she did Crash of Fate. You've got Daniel Jose Older, who did the novelization of Solo, A Star Wars Story. You've got Kevin Scott, who you actually got to interview at Star Wars Celebration, who's done a lot of the Adventures storyline. Didn't do Turbis's line. That was John Barber, but he did do some Adventures. And then Charles Soule. Charles Soule's doing Star Wars, the main comic line right now. He did Dark Lord of the Sith. He's got Rise of Kylo Ren. Can you imagine? Now, I'm just speculating right here. And this, based on those two different news stories, which I read the Project Luminous one from Zero.hu the night before Jason came out. I didn't share that one until Jason came out because I trust Jason enough that when he confirmed it, it seemed like there's something to this. But what would it be if Claudia, Justina, Daniel, Jose Older, Kevin Scott, Charles Soule, they all have been spending the last 9 months mapping out like phase one of the new era of Star Wars with books, comics, games, TV, animation, and movies all integrating together. One of the big complaints about the rise of the sequel trilogy has been that it didn't have a cohesive story. It seemed like they were jumping around. They were writing it as they went. And I think there's some truth to that with it. It's an argument that's been made about the Star Wars, all the Star Wars trilogies. It's how you get Luke and Leia kissing at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back when they're brother and sister in Return of the Jedi. It's how you get some of these things happening with that. All right. So my question is, are you, if they're all sitting around like writing this massive story and saying, okay, yeah, we want to make that a comic, we want to make that a book, that needs to be part of this TV series, that's a movie, that kind of thing. What do you think about the future of like Star Wars going into 2022?
It's exciting because that was a huge thing with the MCU. I mean, it was a big deal. Endgame was massive and it was a lot of fun. But I'm worried that it will start watering down Star Wars, if that makes sense.
What do you mean?
Because that kind of happened with Marvel. It was one every year or so. And then now there's so many coming out a year. It's like, what, two or three a year at almost?
2021, I think it's going to have four.
Yeah.
With its TV series.
Like, difficult to follow. I'll ask Nate, you know, is there a Marvel movie coming up? He's like, yeah, it's this month. And I'm like, I didn't even realize.
When's the next Marvel movie coming out? Is that Black Widow? Is that May?
May. Okay. Yeah. So it's just, I don't want that to happen with Star Wars where it just, there's so much happening and coming out that you can't follow it all and it just becomes another movie.
Well, BB Nate, you know, I understand what Sam's saying here, but here's where I'm going. You've got decades of comics in the Marvel universe that they're just pulling from.
Yeah.
For the MCU. Right, and they're changing stories, they're adding things, but concepts like the entire Infinity Wars idea, that's out of the comics.
Yeah,
you know, that type of stuff goes on. The stuff that's going to be happening with Jane Foster becoming Thor, that's nothing new. That's something that's happened in the comics. Falcon taking the mantle, taking up the shield of Captain America, that's something that happened in the comics, right? So I see where you're coming from, Sam, on the not wanting them to release, you know, get to the point where they're releasing three big movies and all this other stuff. I don't think that they're going to do that.
Okay.
I think that they may get to the point where they release one movie every Christmas. Okay?
That's fair.
But then all these other stories are the comics and the books and TV stuff. And all of it integrates together, sort of like we really kind of wanted, like you were saying, with Rise of Skywalker. BB Nate, do you like the idea of them pulling all of that together and creating one giant cohesive story to go going forward that's telling like the big major moments in the movies and then other things through Disney Plus and animation and other stuff, books and comics and such?
It's an interesting idea. It's going to be fun if it does happen, but it's going to be a lot. But I remember that during the summer, we were like complaining about how we didn't have much news, nothing really to talk about. And we were grabbing for every little thing that we could grab from to record this podcast. So I feel like if we do get some comics, some books, some games, some TV show episodes, some movies that all interconnect with each other, we will be a lot more...
we'll have a lot more content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm excited about that. All right, Let's talk about the next one. Star Wars comic hinted that Snoke was actually Palpatine months ago. This is from a ScreenRant.com article, but it actually references a tweet from the author of it. I'll explain. The seeds of Palpatine's reveal had been planted earlier in the Star Wars universe, specifically in the comic Star Wars Age of Resistance Supreme Leader Snoke series. Confirmed by the comic book writer Tom Taylor on Twitter, one particular scene in the Age of Resistance series was not only meant to give context and provide atmosphere for the situation at hand, but also foreshadowed what would soon be revealed on the big screen. After traveling to Dagobah, Snoke and Kylo Ren have the following conversation. I'm not going to try to impersonate either of them.
Yeah, please don't.
Okay. Kylo Ren, I could still feel him from his time. Now, again, they're on Dagobah. Okay. I could still feel him from his time here. Skywalker. Snoke. Yes, one of the most formidable Jedi began his training here. Kylo Ren, why do you speak of him that way? Snoke, what way? Kylo Ren, with respect. Snoke, he has earned my respect and my fear. Kylo Ren, he is weak. Snoke, he is not weak, he is misguided. If I had your uncle by my side instead of you, the galaxy would have been mine. A long time ago. Now, Tom Taylor just tweeted this thing out there on the 3rd and said people are missing this, that they're forgetting about this from the comic. BB-8, does this settle the argument that Palpatine not only made Snoke, like he says in the movie, but that he was actually speaking through him?
I that's exactly what I thought when I first heard it. I'm like, okay, so he was, like, Snoke trained you well. Like, he was making him, sorry.
That's okay.
I hit it. But He was making him train Kylo Ren and all this stuff. And yes, he might have had a little bit of free will, but at certain points in time, he probably was able to, you know, guide Snoke and Kylo Ren and everything. So, yes.
What do you think, Samuel? Do you think that Snoke was more than just a being created by Palpatine, as we see in Rise of Skywalker, but was a being that was actually being almost, like, possessed and consumed it and filled by Palpatine?
No, I get the vibe that he was just a puppet made and controlled by Palpatine the whole time. Because you saw there were multiple bodies.
So explain what you mean by puppet.
Like, he was literally just created so that Palpatine could control the galaxy in the best way he could. Because obviously we saw in the movie, his body's a little limited right now. Like, he's literally limited to this weird arm thing.
Yeah.
So it's tough for him to get out and conquer the galaxy. So it makes sense that he would create this being and act through it to establish his rule in a way.
Interesting.
So, okay. Yeah, no, cool. That's what makes sense to me.
All right. You know, Collider, Collider Video, Collider website, we've got a little bit of history with Collider as well. But they just announced this last week that they canceled Star Wars-themed Jedi Council and other original shows as part of a video series. I pulled an article. We're going to link to it by therap.com. Collider has chosen to cancel some of its longest-running shows, including Collider Jedi Council. The show was rebooted in recent months after Christian Harloff left to pursue other opportunities and was reformatted as Ken Napsok, longtime friend, by the way, of Turbis the Porg.
Yeah, good guy.
Mentions it in his book, Why We Left Star Wars, as a reason why he left Star Wars. Was moved into the primary host role. So it's been canceled. There, no more Collider Jedi Council. This is one that we like. This is one of the first ones we watched and kind of engaged with it. But never fear, you can still listen to some of the most insightful and positive Star Wars voices, such as Ken Napsok and others on his Force Center podcast, hosted with his brilliant co-host, Joseph Scrimshaw. What are your guys' thoughts on this Collider decision? What do you think about it? Keep it light side.
Keep it light. Yeah, no, I mean, it's sad. They were good. I remember they have really insightful opinions and content. They set up the whole IMAX screening
that we went to. The Turbis set came out of.
Literally, none of this would have happened without them. Like the whole Turbis
thing. None of the Turbis thing would have happened without Collider.
So yeah, no, that's really sad. I mean, I understand. Eventually, things kind of need to fade away and change, but it's still sad.
What do you think about it, BB-8?
It was shocking how it happened. I mean, out of the blue, it was canceled, but I mean, like Sam said, everything needs to come to an end, and this must have just been its time. I mean, it'd been nicer if Ken Napsok could have been there a little bit longer. Yes.
That'd have been I think that's the thing that's most disappointing. They reformatted the show. The show kind of had gotten a little bit dark side for a while. Mm-hmm. Some of the last few months that Christian was there after The Last Jedi. And Ken was Ken and Emma Fife. And I can't remember the name of the other guy that was on there now. I'm sorry. I apologize about that. But they had sort of brought a different light side view. And I was really enjoying listening to it again with this. So I was kind of disappointed by it. Yeah. But we want to encourage you guys to seek those, those creators, those content creators out on their other platforms that they're using and subscribe and follow and support them and be a part of helping them put out positive Star Wars content. So, all right, why don't we go ahead and try this new main theme. So one of the biggest controversies in The Rise of Skywalker is the death of Ben Solo. And after 3 weeks of debate, our experience is that a lot of the debate results in how people view the afterlife, both within Star Wars and outside of it. Is death something to be feared or embraced?
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so I think that for this conversation, as we think about the afterlife and we think how it relates to Star Wars and one's viewpoint, I kind of want to start by revisiting some of the most iconic deaths within Star Wars, the movies, the films. Mm-hmm. Because I think that when we see those as being these big moments and what happens in them, that it may help sort of give a framework for our understanding of the afterlife within the Star Wars universe and help us like have that conversation. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So obviously the first major character to die, I mean, we see Owen and Beru and some others like that in the beginning of A New Hope. But the first major one of our characters to die in Star Wars is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
If we're going movie-wise.
Yeah, like starting in the Star Wars universe, like watching the films and stuff like that. That was the first one that we experienced, right? And so if I'm using the same idea within Star Wars as you would use in something like historical interpretation of religious texts and things like that, I know. You would use the law of first mention is what they call it. And the first mention of something, like, okay, so I'll use this example. In scripture, when something is mentioned for the very first time, it's assumed to define the way we view it going forward.
Okay.
In the scripture.
Okay.
So in Star Wars, let's use that same rule. Okay. So the first major character that we see die in Star Wars is Ben Kenobi.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. So we're on the Death Star. He's finally gotten the tractor beam turned down. He's in his confrontation with this evil Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Right. And they're having this battle. And finally, after, you know, they're battling, they're dueling with their lightsabers, but they're also dueling verbally throughout the entire thing. With it, you get the famous line from Obi-Wan Kenobi. It says, "You can't win, Vader. If you strike me down," which means
kill him. You kill him, I guess.
Yeah. "If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you could possibly imagine." BB Nate, when you hear that phrase and you realize what's happening with Ben Kenobi in this sequence, and then what happens with him? You know, he basically just turns off his lightsaber and gets killed.
Yeah,
right. He disappears in some ways. What do you what should we be inferring about the afterlife, at least as it relates to Ben Kenobi in this?
Well, it's interesting because if he dies, he becomes more powerful, and that's always an interesting concept. I've always wondered about that, but the afterlife has always kind of been present in Star Wars with, you know, Force Ghosts and...
Well, and this is before Force Ghosts or anything like that. This is like our first idea of what happens when a Jedi dies.
Yes.
And he says, I think you were touching on it, you know, continue to go with that. The idea of I shall become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. What does that mean for the story, at least as we relate to Ben Kenobi?
Well, I don't know.
It's a bit of an open question.
Yeah, okay, so Sam, try to answer that for me.
I think what you're kind of hinting at is
that in death, or death isn't something to be feared, because in death, you, I don't want to say ascend necessarily, because it sounds kind of weird, but you get where I'm coming from. You, like, ascend in a way. You become more than your physical being, in a way, if that makes sense. Am I sounding a little...
No, I think that what you're saying is that Ben Kenobi seems to be suggesting literally what he says.
Yeah.
Is that his death will cause him to have a greater existence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't... It's not like we even need to see Ben Kenobi as some... just some glowing apparition like we see in Empire Strike Back.
Right.
With it. He's literally... he becomes more powerful is what he's saying. His mm-hmm. death is actually a gateway... the end of his physical existence is freeing him to a greater existence. Body's
limiting.
Exactly. Okay. So the next one that we see is in the next movie. Or not the next movie. It's the next, it's two movies down with it. We get introduced to Yoda in Empire Strikes Back, but we also see get our first glimpse of Ben as a Force ghost. Mm-hmm. We get that. The first time we see him is on
Jacob Hoth.
Yeah, well, it's on Hoth. He tells him to go to Dagobah.
Isn't that also the first movie where we see the Force used to, like, move objects and stuff?
It is. You're right. Okay. With that at Hoth. But, so we see this communicate. Well, even let's go back. Let's go to the trench run on A New Hope. We get this communication between Ben
and Luke.
Yeah. You know, use the Force, Luke. And
this voice.
And, like, he's communicating to Luke. There's something there. There's an existence that's different. That's beyond this physical realm. Mm-hmm. And then we get to Yoda. Of course, when Yoda dies in Return of the Jedi, it's famous for him not just dying. We literally see him fade away.
Right.
Now, we see that it happens really fast with Ben
mm-hmm.
in A New Hope. But this is more of like a gradual fading away.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to think about something that Yoda says. It's actually back in the prequels. I think it's in Revenge of the Sith, where he says this quote, and we played a bit of it earlier with this. He says, "Death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force. Mourn them, do not. Miss them, do not. Attachment leads to jealousy, the shadow of greed it is." But the idea is they become something better. Don't mourn for them when they become one with the Force, when they physically cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate them.
Yeah.
Don't become so attached to them with it. What do you think about, like, what Yoda is trying to say in this passage as far as, like, the way that we view death in the Star Wars universe? Is it just a Jedi thing? Is it the attachment thing? Is it just a Jedi way of saying, don't worry about death? There's the, you know, they'll go to heaven when they die, kind of an idea. It's no big deal. Like, all dogs go to heaven.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of the way that, is it being thrown around flippantly like that by Yoda? And he's saying, just don't be attached to them. Death is part of life. Move on. Or is there something bigger going on?
No, here? I think the last sentence or so is more the Jedi doctrine falling in. But the beginning, I think, is more of a general thing. It makes sense, you know, because in the Star Wars universe, the Force is created through all living things. The Last Jedi brings up that the Force lives in between the balance of life and death at one time. So I don't think that this is just a Jedi thing. I think the end is where he says that attachment can be dangerous. You know, just rejoice for those who become one with the Force. And they say that because they know that if you become too attached to someone, you become sad and jealous and things like that. And then that could lead to the dark side. But that's more of like a Jedi doctrine thing. But the whole rejoicing for those who die because they're part of the Force is more of a general thing, I feel like. Hmm,
that's interesting. Now, BB Nate, you come from a different perspective when it comes to... and this is where we get a little bit more personal, I guess. But, you know, you were not born when your grandpa passed away. So you never knew your grandfather with that. And you've never really experienced anybody close to you passing,
mm-hmm.
You know, dying or passing away or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you, what's your thought process on what that will be like if you experience that with like grandparents or someone like that, or even something as simple as we've got a dog that's 10 years old and has been sick at times in the last year. And someday we know we're like, we are preparing mentally right now for the fact that he's not going to be with us much longer.
Yeah.
How do you view like the idea of death and losing life? Let's just keep it simple. Like Buster, what would that be? What's your thoughts when I say stuff like that?
Sad, I guess. Yeah. But I've accepted the fact that he is going to die, and that's just to be expected. But I should spend as much time as I can with him now, and then instead of, you know, worrying about how I didn't, you know, later, and try to do it now.
So. Yeah. Sorry for making that like get real heavy there for you for a second there.
I mean,
you knew your grandfather.
Yeah.
You were 3 when he passed away, so you barely remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. It'd be easier if I went with the Buster thing, honestly, because I just
okay. So go for it. What do you think of when you think about death?
I mean, it's sad, but you know, I know that he's lived a good life, a good long life for a dog his size. You know, 12 or so years is a pretty good lifespan. But he's probably not doing so hot. Probably not necessarily suffering, but not having a great time. So I know that, you know, once he dies, he won't be in pain anymore. And it'll be sad. Obviously, we're all going to be super sad when that happens.
Sure it is.
But,
sure we will.
You know, I think we should just, you know, take solace in the fact that he'll be okay.
But here's the interesting thing. When we talk about Buster, we're talking about a being that we don't think has an eternal existence. You know? It isn't the Disney movie or whatever who made that All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Was that Disney?
I don't remember who it was. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? That's not the way... No, we're not looking it up. That's not what we're dealing with when it comes to this, though. We're thinking about like physical, like sentient, emotional beings with souls or spirits or whatever it is that makes humans different than animals. And so... when we think about that, there's this tendency to try to stop death from going on. We'll come back to the dad thing a little bit later because I'm going to tell a story about that a little bit later. It's something that is interesting as we deal with the afterlife. But I'm thinking about Anakin Skywalker on this. You know, we see he dies as Anakin Skywalker, which I think is really important with that because we see him as Anakin as a Force ghost. He's redeemed on that. But he was when, you know, the big driving storyline of Revenge of the Sith is him trying to keep death from happening with that and keep Padme from dying. And he's like, he's trying to prevent it and he fears it so much. That's where the conversation with Yoda takes place. He fears death so much. He fears losing Padme so much that he's willing to, he ends up going to the dark side in order to try to prevent Padme's death, and then later through Vader Immortal and some other things, he's like trying to bring her back to life.
Dark Lord of the Sith
comics and things like that. Uh-huh. It's interesting. You remember when in Attack of the Clones, after his mother passes on, he's talking to Padme in the Lars homestead on Tatooine, and he's like explaining that his mother just died, and he will, you know, he's going to become the most powerful Jedi to ever live. He says, "I promise you, I will learn to stop people from dying." Why do you think people fear, and you can talk about it in the Star Wars context here, why do you think Anakin is fearing death so much in this storyline and why that's such a big part of it?
Well, you know, this is going to kind of sound harsh in a way, but it's almost selfishness, jealousy in a way, in that you want to spend as much time with this person as possible, which, you know, doesn't sound horrible at in any way. You know, just wanting to spend time with people is not a problem. But when it becomes all about you, I want to spend more time with them, I, you know, things like that, it can become selfish. So I think that's kind of why Anakin, it didn't quite work the same way. Because he was so focused
on... So he was trying to cling to being with her, cling to her being alive, cling to them being together, to the point of almost dark...
It was becoming greed. Dark side. Yeah. It was very much like greed in a way.
Yeah, which obsession.
That's kind of why I think it turned out badly for him. But I think usually the people just want to spend time with the ones they love.
BB-8, why do you think Anakin was so obsessed with being able to stop people from dying or bring Padme back to life? What do you think was like the internal motivation for Anakin Skywalker with that?
Well, he loved her, and that's kind of the obvious answer, but...
he was very obsessed with her, even when he turned to Darth Vader. Even way after, we see that in Dark Lord of the Sith, he's trying everything. And then even in Vader Immortal, he's still, you know, trying his best, and it kind of changes.
He almost does it at the detriment of an entire planet.
Yeah.
On Mustafar, yeah.
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 It's a spoiler ban lifted for that.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. We're fine.
But, I mean, it just is a very... And, of course, yes, he never did resurrect Padme.
Yeah.
That's pretty obvious. But he got close, very close, especially at the end of Vader Immortal.
Well, what do you guys think, too, about the way that Darth Sidious, Emperor Palpatine, or Chancellor Palpatine at the time, twists and uses Anakin's desire to save Padme, to bring her back, keep her alive, uses that to distort him and twist him and lure him to the dark side with that. You know, talk about that for just a second.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly.
Well, the whole Darth Plagueis, Legend of Darth Plagueis. Tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise and stuff. I mean, he keeps saying, you know, he's even, you know, Darth Plagueis found how to create life through the Force, through the midichlorians, and how to keep those he loved from dying. And then at the big confrontation when Anakin and Palpatine are in the Palpatine's chamber, and Anakin realizes that he's the Dark Lord of the Sith.
He's
like, I'm the only one that can teach you how to save the one that you love, to save Padme. He uses that specifically on that. Is this a twisting of what life is all about, really, that's used for darkness there, or how's that work?
And again, it's kind of going back to the selfishness idea.
What if Anakin had taken Yoda's advice on not mourning for those that die, mm-hmm. for not holding on to them, not grieving them? It's not a bad thing. See, do you see that Anakin is clinging to the life, on the physical existence of Padme,
right?
Instead of seeing that there may be more to, like, a future, an eternal life, for example. So, mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, one could say that if he did follow Yoda's advice, obviously she wouldn't have died because he wouldn't have choked her and hurt her, but you know, maybe she still would have died, but Anakin would have had a different approach to it. He wouldn't have been as upset by it. He still would have accepted that she's, you know, part of the Force now, and it's better for her. So as to if she would die or not, I'm not sure, but it's fun to play that what if game.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that if he took Yoda's advice, even if she still died, he would be okay with it.
Okay. So now Qui-Gon Jinn, it's interesting. We don't really see his death. Well, I mean, he doesn't, like, disappear to the Force Ben Kenobi or Yoda or any of those. Mm-hmm. But he talks a lot in The Phantom Menace about the Living Force, and he talks about that and being, you know, the way he connects with the Force. And there's this idea within Star Wars that there's different ways of viewing the Force, and his was very unique to it. He was the first to unlock the path to becoming one with the Force, BB-8. He was killed by Darth Maul before his studies were complete, so for a time he could only return as a disembodied voice. With that. But after Anakin's fall to the dark side, Qui-Gon pushed himself to become corporeal, or have a physical form, mm-hmm. which took most of a decade, according to from the book From a Certain Point of View, mm-hmm. which is sort of a soft canon book.
But I thought that he was I think we've talked about this before, but I thought he appeared in a physical form in the Mortis arc.
He did, but I think that was because the Mortis planet had such a strong connection to the Force, he was able to connect, or
it's a nexus manifest of the Force, just like Dagobah is a nexus of the Force, just like they have said Exegol is a nexus of the Force, right. Just like they've said, just little nuggets here, the wet world between worlds is a nexus of the Force from a fall, mm-hmm. With it. But anyway, so let's see, it says he kept learning about the Force after death. He studied how to fully emerge as more than a voice because he didn't want Obi-Wan to be completely alone during his years on Tatooine.
So he did it just for Obi-Wan.
Partially, yeah. I mean, but a big reason for
him. Which was out of non-selfish love.
That's true. There was grief with Obi-Wan when Qui-Gon dies in mm-hmm. Phantom Menace. But there isn't this despair with Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
I mean, you see grief, you see mourning, but you don't see my. I can't go on.
Right, there's a huge.
Which is the Anakin.
Yeah.
In this, okay. Obi-Wan would commune with Qui-Gon regularly. He talked with his former master on the day that he confronted Vader. According to, from a certain point of view, or the comics or something.
Well, he was like on Tatooine in the beginning of that day, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So.
Very interesting. So, and then, of course, we've got Luke Skywalker. We've got him. He says, strike me. Right as he's force projecting to Krayt in The Last Jedi, he says, strike me down to Ben Solo. Okay, or to, actually, to Kylo Ren. Let's be very distinct there. strike me down in anger, and I will always be with you, just like your father. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, because that seems to be implying that this idea of a life after this physical existence doesn't just apply to the Jedi, it could apply to all beings, because he says that your father's basically haunting you.
Well, that could just be, I mean, you could apply that to nowadays. If you, I mean, I guess killing anyone would do this, but especially, you know, killing someone out of just pure cold-blooded anger, that's usually going to stick with you differently. Like, I'm trying to, this is not a very good example, but, you know, like in the military, the deaths stick with you. Like,
definitely. Absolutely.
But it's different than just killing someone out of, like, pure rage and anger. I imagine.
Or murder.
I can't personally.
Like, combat death is different than cold-blooded murder.
Yeah. You know, so I imagine that could be how you can interpret that, is just, you know, killing me out of anger is going to stick with you differently. You know?
Okay. So, and the Rise of Skywalker, BB-8, you've got this parallel moment where Leia has appeared to have been dead, right? They've got the cloak or the sheet over her. Mm-hmm. Her hand went down like she was dead. Oh, it looks like R2's confirming that she's dead in that moment.
Ooh,
no, and then they put the cloth over it, and you see the, like, the mourning around her bed. But she's physically still there. Her body still exists until Ben Solo puts his life force into Rey to bring her back to life. Now, she's dead, right?
Yeah.
Can we all agree that Rey dies at the end of The Rise of Skywalker? I mean, eyes open, glazed over.
Finn kills it and everything, so.
Yeah.
So she's dead.
Dead. Mm-hmm.
And Ben is alive.
Yes.
Ben's love for her almost mirrors, can we go a little down the Reylo path for just a second? Almost mirrors, like, Anakin's love for Padme in some ways, but there's a different connection. He's now not dark side. Yeah. He's gone the exact opposite path, the opposite journey of Anakin. Anakin went from light side to dark side. In this movie, we see Ben going from Kylo to Ben, going from dark side to light side. He's battled the Emperor.
Go ahead. I just mention something? It's not entirely relevant, but I thought it was interesting. It almost seemed like when Rey stabbed Kylo, that was her killing Kylo and bringing back Ben in a kind of metaphorical way. Almost like this baptism through fire kind of idea. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
That's how I, like, rationalized that whole thing. Because, you know, he's talking to Han later, and Han's like, no, my son is alive, Kylo Ren's dead, or something to that effect. I'm not sure if that's exactly what he says. But it seems like when Rey does that to him, it's almost that reversal, in a way. Kind of like this death and resurrection.
Yeah, he does. He pours his life into her so that she can come back to life, which you brought this up on the last episode on our review of the Rise of Skywalker.
Which I think is really important.
It is important. Go ahead.
It's that he basically fulfilled his grandfather's journey in saving the ones he loved from dying.
Yeah.
But he did it again. Kylo did it in an unselfish way.
In a light side way.
Yeah.
With love.
Yeah.
And not attachment.
Because he died afterward, which, you know, that's not a very selfish thing to do. Bring someone back and then just die, you know? So it was, again, out of a non-selfish love.
But in that moment, BB-8, when, you know, she comes back to life, they kiss, you know, all that kind of stuff. Everybody loves it. Some people don't. But anyway, they kiss, and then Ben dies.
Yeah. Yes. He fades away, though.
Okay. He fades away in the same way as
Obi-Wan.
At the same moment as Leia. That's exactly.
Well, you said it in the same way.
As. Yeah, yeah, I understand. That's my bad.
That was confused.
No, I get it. So, what does that mean for Ben Solo? What do you think that that means?
Technically, he is a Jedi. Technically, he did get redeemed at the end, so that makes sense. And we learned that Leia was a Jedi, and she still was when she died. So, they're Jedi, and now one with the Force. So now, Ben is a voice from a Jedi past, I guess you can say. So,
that's interesting. You know that.
What if? Sorry. Go ahead. What if the Jedi, like, or people like that, only fade away when they've kind of fulfilled their purpose, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, because once Ben turned to the light side and saved Rey, then Leia faded, right? Because he turned. Maybe Kylo's purpose was to save Rey. That's so when he saved Rey, he faded.
That's an interesting
Luke
idea.
Was to save the new rebellion. And after he did that, he faded. Obi-Wan was to save Luke. That's when he faded. You know, you see, it's almost like to fulfill this purpose.
But Anakin never faded, at least.
Yeah. Or nor did Qui-Gon.
No.
They were burned, and then they...
But maybe later on, they fulfilled their destiny and then faded.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to figure out. That's always been a question that people have tried to retcon and figure out answers for.
I'm just trying to rationalize why Leia didn't fade until...
Yeah, it is an interesting conversation. I'm hoping we get something in the novelization which is going to be significantly more fleshed out from what Ray Carson,
because
the
when Leia fades, Maz kind of like grins because
like
she
understands
something.
That's true. So, BB Nate, I'm going to ask you a question here as we tie up this part of the conversation here. In the Star Wars universe, is death final?
No. Not even with the Sith.
Explain.
Well, because with Darth Bane and Mormon. They are tied.
Well, she actually came back from death, which is interesting.
Yeah, and so they are tied to their belongings after death.
A physical object.
It's not as powerful as the light side of the Force, being Force ghosts. They can wander around all they please, but Sith can't do that. So technically, yes, there is more to death after life. Other than that, the Sith, it's very easy to tell that with the Jedi, there is more life. I mean, without the voices from the Jedi past, Rey wouldn't have gotten up and gotten her Force power back, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but it almost seems like, though, the life after death for the Sith is almost torture. You're linked to this one thing for all eternity, and that's it. You can't go anywhere past...
You have an eternal existence, but it's not an eternal existence that is pleasant or pleasurable. Or like Obi-Wan says, more powerful than you could possibly imagine. You're more limited than you could possibly imagine. That's really interesting. So for those on the light side, it seems to though that life continues after their physical death. You know, you mentioned it just a second ago, the voices from the past at the end of The Rise of Skywalker. But for those on the dark side, it seems they're consumed with a fear of physical death. Does that not play itself into this? Yeah. Like the Emperor's we don't know how the Emperor survived yet to this. I have a theory. He's like trying to keep his body from dying. Yeah. You know, his fingers are disintegrating and all this kind of stuff. He's like trying to keep his physical body from dying with it. You have Maul like living on hatred and reconstructing a legs and a second half. You know, Momin being infused into that mask. All of this kind of stuff. This desire to cling to life. Mm-hmm. When it's in the Jedi side, it's more of this freedom to let life go. Mm-hmm. And transcend into this higher existence with this. So let's talk about this for the greater story. We're going to do this on these themes every single week with it because we believe there is a greater story with this. We believe in life after death. Mm-hmm. We come from a Christian's perspective. BB Nate, how does that impact the way that we live this physical life? If you believe, you know, like we do, that there's something that exists after death, how does that change the way that you live this physical life?
Well... You can always think of it as, you know, there's always going to be more after this physical life. But still, you want to cling to the ones that you love here so that you can spend more time with them, mm-hmm. but you have the comfort of knowing that there's more after.
There's now. A hope beyond yes. this life. Mm-hmm. Yes. With this. What do you think about that, Samuel?
I think using the perspective we've kind of talked about today, you'll focus less on things and people and more experiences. And if that makes any sense, you know, you won't worry about, not saying that any of this is wrong, having a big house, you know, nothing wrong with having a big house, but if said house burns down one day, it's not going to be detrimental to your life because that you were so focused on the physical aspect, you know, you're like, okay, we'll move on and we'll do this again. You know, we'll keep going. We've still got our life in a way, you know, our existence. So we don't have to worry about what's happening right now or what we have. I don't know how to say
it. It's hard to communicate.
Yeah, because this is a complicated subject. You had to pick a complicated subject.
I figured we'd just go in with a, you know,
deep end of the pool here.
Can you, Samuel, can you imagine what it's like to live life without the hope of eternity?
I can't imagine it. That'd be horribly depressing. I know there are people out there who live that
way. Lots of people.
And I don't know how they function. And I feel like a lot of time those people have to focus on just getting as much as they can. Power, money, wealth, whatever you want. And that's got to be pretty depressing because it's never enough. You always have to get more and more and more, and it's never going to work. So knowing, but if you know that there's something after this that's a lot better than what we got right now, I feel like that'd be extremely encouraging.
Yeah. BB Nate, what do you think about that? Can you imagine what it's like to live life without the hope of eternity?
Well, having no hope for more life is always going to be, like Sam said, depressing, and you don't know what's after.
Well, so let me play the other side of the argument here. There would be some, I guess, but there'd be some people that would say, no, I mean, if there's no eternity, then eat, drink, and be merry, right? You know, live life to the fullest right now. Someday you're going to die. You're going to cease to exist. Go for the gusto. Live life however you want right now and enjoy every second of it because nothing matters beyond that. Do you understand that perspective from those people that don't think that there's life after death?
Yes, I understand that.
Because you said, Sam, it's like depressing. It could be depressing. I can see this as being actually liberating.
And I can understand that, but with this, I can understand how it may be a little bit difficult to believe if you don't understand it. And it can be very hard to grasp that there's a whole nother, I guess,
realm
to this life that we don't
the
know
the eternal realm.
And thing is it all has to do with hope. It all has to do with faith. You can't have somebody just come to you and say, oh yeah, it's real. That doesn't work that way because when you're dead on this earth, you can't come back to this earth and communicate with other humans like Force Ghosts. You can't be a Force Ghost after
there
life.
A story in the Bible about
it's a parable
Elijah.
It's not like a physical story on that, but it's interesting though because I've experienced as closest as I can ever describe seeing someone enter into eternity and believing without any doubt that there is an eternal realm. So it'll be the 25th of this month, it'll have been 15 years since my dad passed away, and I was with him when he did this, and he had stage 4 lung cancer. I stayed up with him all night the night that he passed away. The only way I can describe what I went through with him in that process was it felt like what I went through with your mom when she was giving birth to you guys. Like there was this birth that was taking place. Like you guys were entering from one realm into this other realm, and I was having to work to and like coach her along and encourage her along. I was doing that literally with my dad. He was fighting for a while, like struggling to try to breathe. He's fearful at times of what was happening, because they told us that when he was started to become, when it was just hours from him passing, they said this rattle would start taking place in his breathing. They described it to us. He knew what it was going to sound like, and he knew what he was experiencing. I knew what he was experiencing. So I literally sat there next to his bed, and I held his hand for 4 or 5 hours and said, "Dad, it's okay." And read scripture to him and sang songs to him and his, some of his favorite Christian, you know, hymns and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he relaxed and he was at peace. And then there was this moment that took place. I was sitting with him where I knew he was almost on the verge of dying. And I went and my mother was sleeping in her room. My sister was sleeping in a different room. I went and got them. And I brought them into the room, and my dad like revived for a second and sat up and tried to like be strong for my mom. It was really emotional. They hugged, and then he laid back, and my mom looks at my dad and says, "It's okay, hon. You know, we're all here. It's okay. We love you." And then I looked up. Now, a few days earlier when this all started to get, like he took the downturn, mm-hmm. he had woken up from a nap and I was sitting next to him and he just sat up and his eyes got as wide as saucers and he looked over at me and he said, "It's wonderful." And then he went back to sleep. And I knew he was like, that was when he was like, the veil, if you want to think about it, between the physical realm and the spiritual realm, the eternal realm, mm-hmm. was very thin for him. He was seeing into something else. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he smiles and he says, "It's wonderful." And then went back to sleep. So then when my mom was sitting him that morning that he passed, I remember he was leaning back in his bed, propped up. He had a bed that reclined mm-hmm. and propped up like a hospital bed. And he was leaning forward in it, and he looked up and his eyes got wide and he looks over to the right side of the room and you see this grin come on his face and this something he's watching go across the room and comes right in front of him and his eyes keep getting wider and wider and his smile keeps getting bigger and he's got this look of sure ecstasy on his face and then he just closes his eyes and he lets this breath out, and he was gone. And my dad was no longer there.
You could feel
his physical body was there. He didn't even look the same anymore. And I knew I had literally just watched my father go from this life, this physical existence, into something else, some greater existence. And I'll never doubt the existence of an eternal realm after experiencing what I experienced with him 15 years ago. There's no way. It's there. Yeah. It's real. I've seen somebody enter into it with it.
Which, this is not, I just think it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of, in this day and age, we believe that science can explain everything, right? Feelings and emotions. As hormones and things like that.
Mental synapses.
You know, different chemicals in the brain and stuff, love and things. But how do you quantify that kind of thing, right? How do you quantify love, you know? Or how do you explain that someone just is different after they die? You can just tell that something's different. They're not there. They look different. How do you quantify that with science? How do you explain that? You can't. There's that which proves that there's got to be something more than this physical existence. This Bible study I'm doing, we just talked about yesterday about like ethics and things like that, and there or philosophy, which is just a very philosophical discussion. Right. There's this idea that the universe is all there is, and it's in this box, right? And if you try to explain the universe by looking at everything that's just in the box, you can't. You just physically cannot explain everything by just looking at what's inside the box. So there has to be something outside the box to help explain things. It's kind of like how you just knew your dad wasn't there anymore. Yeah. So it's interesting to tie, you know, for me to tie that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like that.
Sure. Well, you know, eternal life in the Bible, we tend to, like, think of eternal life as being this idea of going from heaven. You cease to live here, you start living somewhere else, is almost the way that it is. And that's actually not the way that eternal life is seen in the Bible. And I think it's important for us to define what we believe eternal life is as we talk about this. It's the promise of perfection and a perfect existence for the future, from that spiritual realm, that eternal realm, actually breaking into this life. So when Jesus talks about giving us eternal life, it's like that existence is supposed to be breaking through into our lives now, this physical existence, and then continuing with us forever.
So heaven exists now, almost.
It is. It's like heaven on earth. That's why Jesus, you know, one of the most famous prayers in the Bible, it's called, Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, right? He says, your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven, and so on earth. With that. So I guess this is going to, it's really interesting. I was thinking about how to end this segment. And I'll just read this to you. It says, how is eternal life achieved? Now in the Star Wars universe, it's about being selfless. It's about the love like Ben Solo had for Rey. It's about sacrifice. It's about selflessness and that kind of thing. Well, it's interesting because Matthew 16:24-26, Jesus says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross, which is a source of execution at that time, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. Mm. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your souls? Does that not feel like the same definition of how to become one with the Force from Star Wars? What do you guys?
It's very similar. And has George Lucas stated that he was Christian or he...
No, he's really actually talked more of it, taking like Buddhist and Hindu philosophies and things like that.
Well, still, you can just tell, regardless of what you believe, whether you're Christian, Buddha, or atheist, or whatever, there's these themes that run through many different things. Like, if he took the ideas from Buddhism... then there are a lot of ideas, and I'm not saying that it's right, but there's they have the similar ideas that we have, right? Because there's this central idea that all humans understand, if that makes sense. You said it's, like, written on our hearts.
Yep. Yeah. Eternity is written on our hearts, right, is what it says.
So there's this unifying idea that we can all understand and identify with, I feel like, which is really interesting, in my opinion.
Awesome. All right, well... anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
And on that note...
The Rise of Skywalker is going to clear $1 billion this week for a movie that's been a terrible failure in the box office, according to Forbes magazine and some others. And I think that's really interesting. So.
And the Clone Wars Season 7 is to be released in February 17th. Woo! That's pretty soon. It's so far, and yet so close.
It'll be good. That'll be awesome.
And I like this one. Josh Gad and many Star Wars fans... are calling for a Babu Frick spinoff. I would agree with that.
Only if it's like an animated series for like really little kids, I think it would be fun.
He's my guy. Not really little kids. I love that
dude. You don't think so?
For all ages.
He's my guy. I love that dude.
Or comic series. That'd be awesome.
No, you gotta have it in like animation so you can hear his cute voice.
You gotta hear the voice. Yeah, I agree with that. All right, well, this week's podcast poll of the week. Let's just get your opinion on what we just like unloaded there for an hour on this. Is death the end in the Star Wars universe? Yes, no, from a certain point of view or other. I think you know what we stand for and what we think about that based on that conversation. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this. It's been an interesting ride with us. Be patient with us as we try to dial in a little bit more and tighten up what we're talking about and how we do it. But I think that sometimes it's fun to have deeper conversations when it comes to the Star Wars world. You can subscribe to us on any podcast catcher service, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Breaker, CastBox, whatever. And whatever. You can find us and you can subscribe. Follow us on social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We're not on... what's that one? Snapchat. Because I don't know how Snapchat works. And give us some reviews. Throw us up a 5-star on whatever service that you use. We'd love to hear that. We'll read it on the air word for word as long as you don't curse or say bad things about us.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.